D.A. Mariota. Ua waere ki tēnei te petone tapu. Ka hurara kata kata tai ki roto o Takaroa. Ki te moana o te whanganui a Tara. Ka tū tēnei a hau ki tēnei pitu o ne tapu heiti tiro kei roka i ēnei mauka whakahi. A te ahu mai rangi a puke ahu a motu kai rangi a mātai rangi. Ka mauka ukura, ka mauka tapu e tūana. E pōhiri ana, e mihi ana, e kāraka ana mai ki a mātou hei ara mai kei raro. Kei raro e aua whakaro kā tū ohu ki ta ahi kā ta mana whenua o tēnei rohe. O te ati awa, o Taranaki whānui, tai noa ki Ngāti Toa rangatera, whakawhiti atu ki Ngāti Raukawa ki te tonga. Ko ēnā kāhi kā te mana whenua o tēnei te upoko, o te eka a Māui tiki tiki a Taraka. Anō reira kei raro e rātou tono, tuana a mātou nei, hei mihi atu ki a koutou. Anō reira ki a koutou, te kāhue o Uenuku, te kāhue o Kahukura, te kāhue o te tāwhana, te kāhue o te kōpere. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou rauraka tira mā, tēnā koutou katoa. I stand to acknowledge the sacred hills and mountains that surround us. Te ahu mairangi, puke ahu motu kairangi, mātairangi, that watch and call us together as we gather below them. And in doing so, I make acknowledgement to the ahikā, the mana whenua, the home iwi of this place, of Te Atiawa, of Taranaki whānui, of Ngāti Toa rangatira, Ngāti Raukawa ki te tonga. And it's at their request that we stand this evening to open this fair gathering. The greetings to you on their behalf and on ours as we gather for this momentous occasion. And some of us are old enough to remember where we were 40 years ago tonight. Some of us were not yet a twinkle in the eye of a parent. I'm not going to say where I was. But kia ora to you all. This is an amazing anniversary. You have an amazing lineup of speakers and some entertainment. And I think those people will speak for themselves. Not my job. I don't want to pinch Buckwheat's job from him by actually introducing people. But these are wonderful people, and they're people that we know and love. So kia ora to you all. I have made reference to the various words in Te Reo Māori for the rainbow. There are more, but it represents for me the various colours in the rainbow and also the various expressions of love that are in our rainbow. And so we're together this evening in this wonderful place, in this place where so many decisions are made on our behalf that impact on our lives so much. We are Te Whanawhana. We're a community kaupapa organisation that sits at the intersection of Te Ao Māori and the rainbow. Anyone's welcome, and we are proud and privileged to stand alongside you, Craig, and all your organisers in this place with this august company, and to just support and share our opening. Two of the Waiata we sing tonight, we've got one now and we're giving one a bit later on, were written by Kevin Honui, who of course you'll know as one of the founders, co-founders of Te Whanawhana. And this one that we're going to use to complete our opening was written on the occasion of the ILGA conference held here, and I think it was 2016. And it's called Urunga Oraro. You might even get some words up there. If you know it, join in.
Karangatiara, Urunga Oraro. Karangatiara, kite tai pakarungara. Karangatiara, kite tai pakararora. Haie de mai,
haie de mai hi.
Haie de mai. Karanga tēnei ki ngai hui e Oronga, oraro, te moana nui a kiwa Ki Aotearoa e Ki te panga nui a tara
Whai atura
Whai atura te waiwai o te whike E heke mai nei te mokai o muturangi Ki Aotearoa e, nā kura marotini I tapai nanei.
Eke pānuku,
eke pānuku, eke tangaro, haramai te toki, hami e hui e tae ki e.
Karangatiara,
karangatia ki te tai whakarungara. Karangatia ki te tai whakararora, haere mai,
haere mai,
haere mai,
haere mai.
Ti whanawhana haere taru kura I te rangi, ki runga pōneke I te moana raukawae. E kaupapa nui, me ara ake ue nuku. Eke pānuku, eke tangaro, harawai te poi, hami e ui e tae ki e. Eke pānuku, eke tangaro, harawai te toke, hami e ui e tae ki e.
Karangatiara,
karangatia ki te tai whakarungara, Karangatia ki te tai whakararuna. Haere mai.
Haere mai.
Haere mai.
Haere mai.
Hei.
So a karakia to finish the open, and then we're opening, and then we're going to have our MCs introduced, I think, from this point. So we'll just conclude this piece and we'll leave the stage in their hands. A whakatau, a whakatau, a whakatau, a raki e tūnei, whakatau, a papatūnuku e tako tūnei. Titi a kia oho, titi a kia wātea, titi a ki te poho o tāne nui, a raki. Tūturu mai kia whakamaua, kia tīnā, tīnā, haumi e, hui e, tāi e ki e. Mauri ora ki te whare. Piri he mai.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa, ngā mihi nui kia koutou. Can I ask for any MPs that are with us tonight to come and join me on the stage? Any current MPs, please come and join me on the stage, please. My name's Glenn Bennett. I'm a Labour MP based in Taranaki. And it is my honour to welcome you all here this evening into your whare. But I also realise this is a challenging place for many to come into. And I reflect on 40 years of homosexual law reform. Now, I was 10 years old, I was 11 years old, telling my age to you right now. But I also was a really good Salvation Army. I grew up in the Salvation Army. Some of you may have heard of them. I remember going to church on a Sunday, and I think some of you might have been visiting the Salvation Army 40 years ago. And outside, I'd go to church on a Sunday, and all these fabulous people were standing outside the Salvation Army with placards and looking fabulous and wonderful. And I want to say thank you, because you introduced me to my community. And it was way more fun outside than it was inside church, to be honest. But anyway, that's just a side note. But we want to say welcome to you all, to the trailblazers that have gone before us. And as MPs, I think often this place, it's seen as a very individualistic place, and it's all about personalities and power. But no one gets to a place like tonight without working together, standing together. And so people like Dame Fran Wile, people like Larissa Wall, people like Marilyn Waring, all those people who are here, and those who have gone before, Georgina Beyer, we honour her and her legacy. And so we, as current MPs, know that we stand on the shoulders of giants, and we can't be in this place tonight without honouring what has gone before us. So thank you for coming into this place. I know it's hard, and for some people right now, in our trans whānau, I get that this is a really tough time. In 40 years, let's celebrate, but at the same time, we've got so much more work to do. So we say welcome. And I want to finish with a quote from Bell Hooks, who was an activist, a writer, who said, "Love is profoundly political. Our deepest revolution will come when we know this truth." Love is profoundly political. And because of those trailblazers 40, 50 years ago who stood up, they showed love and advocated and were political. And those today in our trans whānau are standing up for love and being political. We honour you and we say have a fabulous night. And know that we will choose love. Kia ora. Have a good night. Thank you.
Beautiful people, welcome to 40 years of love. How are we feeling tonight? That's a bit of a piss poor attitude. How are we feeling tonight? Now, to make sure we get the vibe going, I'm going to introduce you to one of your MCs first. And he does not come out until he gets the applause he deserves. So we're just going to try a little practice run. Please welcome Joe Bloggs. You've got to do much better than that. Much better than that. Please welcome, he's the 6'4" sequin exclamation mark, the host of Flavor FM Sunday morning show, award-winning host from Māori Television, host of Māori Television's Lucky Dip on the Road. Please welcome your co-host, the one and only, Luke Bang! Oh, nice work. Nice work to make sure that was not a fluke. Turn me up, please, Mr. Sound. Don't turn me down. Turn me on. Thank you. We're going to do that one more time because my next co-host, she deserves all the applause and she does not come out until she gets it. So to make sure, we're going to do that one more time and then we'll get into it. Can you do that for me? Please welcome your co-host. He's the 6'4" sequin exclamation mark, the host of Lucky Dip on the Road with Māori Television, television personality finalist of the year, and your host tonight, the one and only, Luke Bang! If you haven't quite got my name yet, my name is Luke Bird, and what a privilege to be here. 40 years of love, everybody! Nice work, celebrating 40 years of homosexual law reform. Fun fact, I was born the year that happened. I am the bicultural product of protest. I am so chuffed. This is what happens when you sign an agreement and you come out in sparkles. You're fabulous. I'm one of your co-hosts tonight, and it is my absolute honour and privilege to be here to celebrate authenticity, courage, honour and love. Just a couple of things before we get into it. Housekeeping. If you need to go for a poo or a wee, very, very important. If you need to go for a poo and a wee, the toilets are located the way you came. Pick a toilet. They all flush the same way. It all goes the same way. Just pick a toilet. Are anybody here a smoker? You know what? Come to the stage if you're a smoker. Some of you are in denial. If you wish to intoxicate your lungs with rocket fuel, nicotine, tar and rat poison, no, please do. We now encourage it, but please take yourselves outside. He whare o wahi kore tēnei, it's a smoke-free venue, but please take yourselves outside. But Winston encourages it, so light up! Line up. Now, with any co-host comes with another host. So tonight you'll be seeing two of us dottering around to showcase the best of the best of 40 years of love. Absolutely. And I want to just get this off my chest. Now, in 1998, picture this, I'm 6'4" now and I'm bored, but picture this, 1998, 12-year-old Luke Bird, braces, Harry Potter glasses, little man boobies, bald, like bowl cut, high-pitched voice. Boys in my class were playing rugby. Luke was learning to make a pavlova and also learning comedy from some of the best people I've ever come across. The twins literally saved my life at intermediate. I have a scar to prove it. And where young kids were learning to play rugby, I was learning phrases like bullshit, shove it, stick it in the Mormons weekly. I was learning phrases from Camp Mother and Camp Leader. I was learning leadership from Ken and Ken. But I was learning this, integrity, love, authenticity, and comedy from some of the best iconic trailblazers our country has ever created. So please, New Zealand, give a warm 40 years of love for the one and only, the iconic, the legendary, the leader, Dame Linda Turrup!
Thank you so much. What an introduction. Luke, we'll make sure you get some medication after the function. Welcome to the gala celebrating 40 years of the Homosexual Law Reform Bill. 40 years of love. Tonight, this is my first gig without my beloved sister. I almost didn't come. Too hard. But then I remembered, we never give up. And I will honour my sister tonight by remembering our time in 1985 when Jules and I performed at major rallies throughout Aotearoa, including the famous May 1985 Bigot Busters Rally here in the Wellington Town Hall. Some of you were there. Supporting MP Fran Wild's bill to decriminalise homosexuality. And what a night it was. We sang, we laughed, we celebrated our diversity, we rose up and we shut down the man from the sewer. Norm Jones was smothered with protest songs and comedy. I'd like to think that our presence at nationwide street marches, rallies, and television brought a powerful visibility and a moral booster to the rainbow community. But deep down, it was the bravery of groups such as the Gay Task Force, the Lesbian Coalition, yeah. HUG, Heterosexuals Unafraid of Gays, the Campaign for Homosexual Equality, Homosexual Law Reform Society, and individual radical lesbians and courageous gay men. They brought this bill into the public arena. Now, back in the day, gays and lesbians never mingled. Our image of gay men were cravats, red wine, and house parties. Lesbians, on the other hand, were all tool belts, overalls, men's shoes, who hung out in dark, dingy dyke clubs. And let's not forget the lipstick lesbians, a force to be reckoned with, as were the drag queens and the trans community of the time. From this diverse group, a rights movement was born. A united gay and lesbian community against a social and political campaign of hatred, discrimination, abuse, and aggression. Jules once said to me, "We won because we were happy, loving, colourful, and exciting." They lost because they were angry, ugly, and abusive. In the end, the public and the 49 MPs that voted for the bill realised that it was much more exciting and better to hang out with the gay and lesbian community than bigots and hate and people who had no idea what they were doing, and the discrimination and the abuse was beyond belief by the rest of New Zealand. In the end, it was the beautiful people that won. And then, of course, there was Fran. The Labour MP for Wellington. She introduced her private members' bill for the homosexual law reform in March of 1985. Fran was married and a mother of three. There was no personal benefit for Fran to campaign on this issue, but she took on the role of passionate human rights campaigner and champion to the gay and lesbian community. The subject came up at a meeting in Auckland, a group of lesbians. At the time, there were a lot of lesbian meetings. Could Fran actually be a lesbian? My sister Jules settled it. She said, "No, she isn't, but her haircut is." Fran herself came under immense pressure and was the target of both hate mail and death threats. But through the bravery of Fran Wild and a united gay and lesbian movement, the Homosexual Law Reform Bill was passed and signed into law on July the 9th, 1986. 40 years ago. We celebrate tonight 40 years of love, and we must remind ourselves that the next 40 years has to be looked after by this generation, by the next movement, by the next gay, lesbian, transgender, fluid, pansexual, intersexual. Every person in this room in New Zealand must be acknowledged by our governments and our politicians. Kia ora. Can all of you please now give a warm welcome to the amazing, the wonderful, the courageous Dame Fran Wild. Kia ora tātou. I just want to acknowledge the mana whenua, Te Ate Awa and Ngāti Toa Rangatira. Thank you for your welcome tonight. It's always appreciated. MP Glenn, he is the eponymous MP, gay man from a provincial electorate. Thank you for your welcome. And I'm not going to mention all the other MPs because if I leave one out, they get very vicious, I can tell you. So. Georgie told me that, so I've mentioned her, but, you know, that's... Andrew Little told me earlier he might pop in, he had something else on, and so I'll just mention him anyway. He's a good mayor for Wellington. Okay, 40 years of love. Wow, I think you should all give yourselves a round of applause for that. Well done, everyone. I want to thank Linda, Dame Linda, for her intro, which is very generous, and quite a lot of BS in it, I think. But actually, the description of the lesbian community of the time was kind of accurate, actually. But I could never say that. I wouldn't be allowed to, although I was a bit offended that you thought my hair was that bad, actually. But anyway, here we are. So the law change 40 years ago was actually not of the time. It was built on the struggle of, and the pain actually, of generations of people who went before us. And we need to remember that. In particular, the countless men who suffered state-imposed discrimination, lived in loneliness and despair because they weren't allowed to find love, or if they were brave enough and prepared to take risks, were assaulted or imprisoned and in some cases murdered. And I think this evening is not just a celebration, but also a memorial for all those New Zealanders. And we need to remember that and just reflect on that as we celebrate where we've come to. So by the 1980s, the time for change was well overdue. Somebody just earlier was saying, we were one of the last of the kind of liberal democracies to do this. And I was just simply the right person in the right place at the right time. I was a young, straight female, cis wasn't used back then, in a Liberal electorate, Wellington Central, in a parliament with many new young MPs who supported reform. So others tonight are going to talk about their roles and what other people did and the history of the Rainbow Movement in particular. I'll talk from the viewpoint of a legislator, and how we ran the campaign to get Parliament over the line. Because, you know, the law does matter. It has to be good law, though, and not just knee-jerk reactions to the populist sentiment of the day, which unfortunately we're seeing more of at present. We can't protect people. We can't protect human rights and maintain a functioning civil society without a sound legal basis. That's what this institution here is all about, even though it doesn't always get it right. My involvement began actually in 1981 when I was lobbied along with all the other candidates regarding my stance on a law change. And then after I won and I was in the Labour opposition, Muldoon was still the Prime Minister. Do you remember Muldoon? Yeah. Anyway, I was approached again and asked if I would consider sponsoring a private member's bill. So innocently I said, I'll think about that. Yep. And I think it's fair to say that I probably didn't realise the enormity of what would happen and how much it would take over my life. But, the first draft of the bill didn't go anywhere for a variety of reasons. I won't go into all this history. But we did end up with a bill. It was drafted, by the way, by
Alan and, oh, okay, Peter, you can tell us later on, Peter Wall, from Auckland. We had Auckland lawyers and academics drafting it. And that was what I introduced later on. So, I have to be careful tonight, actually, because there are so many special people here, actually, who worked in the campaign, and I can't name you all. But there were a few who worked really closely with me, and I just want to talk about them. So they included Ruth Dyson. Where are you, Ruth? Put up your hand. Over there somewhere. Ruth was not an MP then. She became one later. But she was actually staying with me. Oh, actually, I wasn't married then. I was separated by then. And I always had a wonderful young woman. Ruth was one of them who lived with me and was with my kids when I had to be at Parliament, which was very generous of them. But Ruth actually took on a formidable workload for this legislation. And frankly, she worked a butt off, actually, doing this. And she had nothing to gain from it. So I always acknowledge her. Trevor Mallard was in Parliament at the time, and he was an essential person in organising the campaign. Tonight he's an apology. He's in Europe visiting his grandchildren, a theme I'll return to later. And then importantly, my long-suffering PA, Marion Lynham, who never signed up to be part of an HLR team when she started at Parliament, found herself at the heart of the campaign. Marion, put your hand up. Where are you? She's over there somewhere. She's probably sitting down. Marion organised an office that was completely taken over by this campaign, and frankly, we could not have done this without her. Others in Parliament, both MPs and staff, were stalwarts for the whole duration of the bill. National MP, the late Catherine O'Regan, was unswerving in her support. And she later ensured that the human rights provisions went through, which was really important. And another MP who worked tirelessly, regardless of initial public opinion, and who is here tonight, was Judy Keel. Judy, over the back. Judy was on the Select Committee, which was a pretty grim thing to do, I have to say. The Select Committee wasn't nice. And she also put a lot of time and effort into speaking at public meetings around the country, so we owe her a lot. I actually probably will stop naming, but it's important to say that there was a small group of MPs whose commitment was unbelievable all through the tough times. Others who entered Parliament later were able to make further changes to the law, and I do want to acknowledge tonight in particular Louisa Wall for the changes she led. Louisa, somewhere out there. She's one brave broad. Luckily in the Labour government I was in, I was considered too much of a troublemaker to be in Cabinet. So in 1984, I was a backbencher, and that thus was able to introduce the bill, because ministers can't introduce private members' bills, they're called then. They're now called private bills. However, the caucus did make the mistake of electing Mike Cullen and me as the party whips, and that was brilliant. It gave me information about MPs' leave arrangements and other really useful knowledge that was helpful in the campaign. So when the bill was introduced, most MPs voted in favour of sending it to a select committee. In those days, there was a gentleman's agreement to do that. They didn't vote down private members' bills on the introductory reading. They just sent it off to a select committee where it would die. And by the way, it was actually a gentleman's agreement. There were only 8 women MPs in Parliament at that time, 1984. We knew at the time of the introduction only 19 of the MPs would have voted in favour of a third reading at that time. So we worked out who was completely opposed, didn't worry about them, and who were personally supportive but were worried about the political repercussions in their electorates. They became the focus of the campaign, which was basically changing public opinion so their electorates would give them permission to vote yes. Wednesday afternoons and evenings were private members' bills, and after the bill got back from the Select Committee, we had week after week, month after month, of listening to Norman Jones and others vomiting. It was terrible stuff, I can tell you. And making sure, importantly, making sure all our votes were present and that the bill wouldn't be unexpectedly tipped out, which it nearly was, actually. But the important part of the campaign was elsewhere. And in between those Wednesdays, some of us spent considerable time travelling around the country to speak and lobby and organise. My office became the campaign central, and the members of the Wellington Gay Task Force arrived, the Wellington gay and lesbian communities. They were there every night. Dez was there, Dez and John. Dez came out, actually, when he was working for my office. I'm allowed to say that now, Dez. We all knew. But they came every night and they did all of the mail outs. This was pre-digital, remember? And they helped plot the campaign. Some of them are going to talk here tonight. Bill and Gavin and Linda, you will hear from good friends, old friends of mine who were all part of that campaign. And those efforts in Wellington were matched in other places, particularly Auckland. And Peter Wall is going to talk later. He was a key person there, and he's also with us here tonight. So great you could come, Peter. Auckland, by the way, also shouldered the major part of the funding burden because this campaign did cost money. In all parts of the country, including small towns, where identifying as gay was arguably the most self-defeating thing a person could do, people were there and they activated. Regardless, all around the Motu, the rainbow community sprang into action, running meetings and rallies and writing letters and doing lots of lobbying. Frankly, and then there were the entertainers. There was this couple of young girls called the Tops who were really interesting, actually. And actually, they became the soundtrack of my life. And I just said to Linda, I've got the song at my funeral. My coffin will be carried out to this particular song of yours. She's going to come and sing at it, she said. Thank you. We were joined by masses of supporters, professional groups such as doctors and lawyers and even clergy, because not all of the churches opposed it. And then there were just the good, decent, fair-minded New Zealanders who wanted to correct this terrible injustice. We started HUG. That was Heterosexuals Unafraid of Gays, and the badge. Somebody's wearing the badge. I've seen a couple tonight, actually. Left mine at home, sorry. But we had that made so ordinary people who couldn't do any campaigning could show their support. As the campaign progressed, the AIDS epidemic arrived and gave it added impetus, because we knew that the people who were deemed criminals would be reluctant to seek medical help. And I just want to acknowledge Warren Lindbergh and the work he's done in the AIDS Foundation. He's also here tonight. So overall, it was just a massive collective effort. Some people were great at marching. Some people disrupted meetings. I was always a bit worried about that because I feared they'd get hurt. And particularly, actually, I wanted us to be seen to be the peaceful ones. Others were the persuaders who held quiet conversations and answered questions. Others wrote and edited and collated the material we needed. Screeds of evidence from a range of disciplines and enough biblical quotes to be able to answer any narrow-minded bigot. I've forgotten all those quotes now, but they are there. But the biggest heroes of the campaign for me were the gay men who came out. All their lives they had been targeted and harassed. Coming out in that environment was often asking to lose your job or your accommodation or your friends and family. It was no wonder that most gay men survived by staying in the closet. When the bill was introduced, it triggered a great outpouring of hate against the rainbow community, which meant that their position was even more precarious. Undeterred, many decided that it was time to declare who they were publicly, and I believe it was that trend that changed public opinion. In fact, I have absolutely no doubt about that. Till then, it was a widely held stereotype that gay men were perverted child molesters, and that was what the opposition to the bill was putting around. In fact, it was a constant rhetoric, and it still hasn't died. It's still there. We all know that. When people all over the country began discovering that their workmate or their friend at the pub or the neighbour who babysat for them, or in many cases their brother or their son, was gay, they realised the stereotypes were actually wrong. And out in those electorates, MPs began to hear from constituents that the bill needed to be passed. So tonight I want to salute all who are part of the campaign, but especially those men. Thank you very much for making it possible. And just lastly, warmest thanks to all of you here tonight for being part of a movement of a great, great social change in our country. The biggest mark of our collective achievement is that Rainbow New Zealanders are not just everywhere, they are seen to be everywhere. Of course, decriminalisation succeeded and was a platform for further change, but we lost the Human Rights Amendment and had to wait for that when Catherine O'Regan got it through. Although good law is essential, and I talked about that at the beginning, it doesn't alone change attitudes. We now have two generations since the 1980s, and still the ugly rhetoric is out there, arguably worse in recent years, with the advent of social media and the election of populist politicians around the world, whose own actions give permission for people to hate. I can't begin to imagine what it must be like to be a young trans person today. That would be terrible. Today's generation need to be prepared for the challenges ahead, and it's up to us with some experience in social change to help them. So I want to close by repeating what I said at the event at Government House earlier this week. There is still much to be done, and the torch is yours. It's going to those young people. You are stepping up. Thank you. You're going to help our society. I can't say it will be easy for you. It won't be. But doing the right thing is enormously satisfying. Lastly, thanks again for being here tonight. And I have to confess, I am sneaking off early because I am leaving tonight to visit my mokopuna in Norway. And I don't see them very often. So I probably will go halfway through the speeches. Don't take any offence at that, please, but I can't afford to miss the plane. Please enjoy the party, all of you. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you. The cake.
Beautiful people, please give it up once again for the MP and sponsor of the Homosexual Law Reform Bill, Dame Fran Wyong! Yes! Now we'd like to welcome to the stage Marion and Graham. We're going to recreate the cake picture. Here it is, the cake with the 16, which was when they, with the consent of, consent changed to 16. So we want to get, Dame Fran, Marion, Graham up here please. We're going to recreate Graham. Graham, final call, Graham. If your name is Graham, we want to recreate this picture, Graham. Fran, Marion, and Graham. Graham, you've got one job. Does Graham know he is needed?
I want to know who organised this show. Where's Graham?
We might Photoshop him in from 1986. You've got your hands down, you're leaning over, and you're blowing, girl. Yes, let's hear it, everybody. Dame Fran Wyong, Marion, and wherever Graham is, let's hear it for them. All right, beautiful people, we need to keep moving on. We've got some great speakers tonight to remind us of where we've come from and also honouring where we're about to go. Our next guest speaker, everybody, was a masters and an activist before getting involved in the Wellington Gay Switchboard and helping start the AIDS Foundation in the early 1980s. In 1985 and 1986, he was the main voice of the Gay Task Force in Wellington. He remains a true activist and now supports the Queer Endurance and Defiance. Please welcome the one and only, the legend, Bill Lane. Logan! Bill Logan!
Well, tēnā koutou katoa. Fran sometimes says that we were successful in 1985-86 simply because it was the right time. I think she's wrong. With respect, Fran, you had to be a bit mad to introduce a homosexual law reform bill at the height of the weird, hysterical, toxic, homophobic AIDS panic. In those days, there were shrieks that AIDS would destroy New Zealand. For a while, medical staff would wear kind of space suits to tend to patients. People feared catching AIDS off door handles. It really makes you wonder, doesn't it, what people do with door handles. Our opponents said reform would spread disease, it would corrupt the young, it would end civilization. At a Rotary meeting in Wainuiomata, one man gave a disturbingly graphic account of what gay men get up to, or what he imagined we got up to. I could only say that you obviously know more about gay sex than I do. But it wasn't all absurdity. There were threats, there was bigotry and serious violence. Senior politicians, as we know, told us to get back into the sewers. But AIDS, which was meant to terrify people, also gave us a way through, because safer sex requires openness, not fear. And we kept going. We kept going because we had a sense we might win. This campaign brought together an unusual coalition, militants, feminists, socialists, earnest liberals, party boys, church types, and respectable professionals. And there are also people who refuse to be respectable at any cost. We argued about lesbian visibility. We argued about militancy. We argued about the relative weights to be given to criminal law or human rights. But none of that mattered as much as unity against the bigots and against homophobic law. And that is the first lesson of the campaign. Keep united. There was one dangerous argument that we did not have. Reform proposals would have, the earlier ones, would have decriminalised older gays, people over 21, but left criminal penalties in place for people between 16 and 21. Now, by the 1980s, we in the gay communities had gone further than that. But we were offered compromises by members of parliament saying they'd vote for it if we just raised the age of consent for gays. That's the second lesson of those days. Look after the most vulnerable. Don't desert them. And so tonight, let us celebrate. We helped change the law, and we helped change the country. But victories are not secure. They survive only because they are defended. Today, the political right is advancing internationally, and Christian nationalism is spreading. Parliament right now, as you know, are considering a proposal to put a definition on what it is to be a man or a woman, which simplifies something very, very complicated and does not protect the vulnerable. It just put there to undermine the vulnerable. 40 years ago, we learned that panic can be beaten. Bigotry can be isolated. Unity matters. We will keep united. We will stand by the most vulnerable. And when authority tries to relegate any part of our communities to the sewers, we will say, as we said then, no. We're here, we're queer, and we're not going anywhere.
Everybody, let's hear it once again, Bill Logan. Nice work. We're moving right along, everybody. Last night was the 50th anniversary of our next guest speaker joining Gay Liberation while studying at Victoria University. He helped build the National Gay Rights Coalition. His roles included as International Secretary in 1979 and coordinator of the coalition in 1980. During the campaign around Dame Fran Wilde's bill, he was also involved in the campaign for homosexual equality, and had many roles in the Pink Triangle Publishing Collective before his career in international trade took him offshore for long periods from 1989. He worked again with Fran when she became Chief Executive of Trade New Zealand in 1997. She then became his boss. Please give a warm welcome to the wonderful Gavin Young! Gavin Young, everybody!
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Tonight is about looking forward, and as others have said, the baton has passed to future generations. I think it's just worthwhile quoting a quote from Winston Churchill, who said, "The further back we look, the further forward we can see." And it's got a ring of truth in it at the moment, if we think about the other Winston and New Zealand First and their gender definitions bill. But what I'd like to talk about right now is just a little bit about the campaign that we ran outside Parliament, the activist campaign. And as Fran has said, her bill just didn't magic up out of nowhere. And it was really 24 years of activism that got us to that point. So there's a lot of people to be acknowledged. And I really hate to name names because there was huge numbers of people involved over the years. But Jack Goodwin from Homosexual Law Reform Society was their secretary, was their chair. He made an enormous contribution over many years from 1967. And Robin Duff, whose idea it was to form the National Gay Rights Coalition, which really got our agenda on track. So when Fran's agreed to the bill, we knew what we wanted, and we wanted equality, and we wanted sexual orientation and the Human Rights Commission Act, as it was. When Fran's bill was introduced in March 1985, we thought there would be some opposition from the churches and a few others, but actually, we were really surprised by, they came out of the blocks at us, sort of barnstorming campaign up and down the country. They hired town halls, church halls, you name it. They were running rallies, busing people in for these rallies, and saying some absolutely awful things about our communities. Then they launched a petition to raise or to have 1 million signatures. and then foolishly the Salvation Army said they would take the petition door to door. So we were really up against it. So really all we could do initially as activists was oppose them right at their meetings and on the street where they were getting signatures for the petition and so on. So there was a lot of really brave people who did that kind of work. So we opposed them at meetings, we disrupted, we gained speaking rights at some, and Peter Wall, who is going to speak a little bit later, is famously on television being dragged out of one meeting, sort of demanding speaking rights, and the police grabbed him and dragged him out of the meeting. So there's a lot of things like that went on. But we did shut some meetings down, and even the threat of us turning up, they cancelled some meetings. So it was useful. But what happened also is those campaigns and their vile words, as Fran and others have said, and the negativity was starting to take its toll. And what it did is it empowered others to attack us in workplaces, and socially, and also physically. So our community was really hurting by May 1985. That's 2 months after the bill was introduced. So we started a positive campaign, and we ran rallies of our own, as Linda Topp has talked about. Her and Jules performed here in Wellington at the Town Hall, but also at a rally in Auckland in the Town Hall. And Fran spoke and other things. We had dances that week. We launched the Bigger Buses campaign, and we had the first march. Now, the first street march was we thought we might be attacked, and so did Fran for that matter. And we thought long and hard about it, but in the end, we took the risk and did it. And we started it just down here where the bus station is in Bunny Street. That was where you assembled for marches in the day, and you went through Friday nights with late night shopping, so you went through the streets when there were lots of people there. We were part of a lot of other groups as well, the anti-nuclear group, the anti-apartheid group, land rights, Maori land rights groups and so on, and those groups came to support us, and so we got thousands and thousands of people, plus friends, plus all of our own community there. And so the march was really big. And the importance of it was that for the first time, we could show numbers supporting Fran's bill. Until that time, the opposition had the running. So it was kind of a turning point in the campaign. The lessons we learned was reach out, build connections with a wider community. And also the other lesson we learned, and I think others have mentioned it, we had to put aside some of our many differences because the threat from outside was far greater than any disagreements that we might have. But one of those disagreements, as Bill mentioned, was the age of consent. And essentially it was an argument between pragmatic and principled. Should you accept a lower age of consent or not? Our policy was 16 or nothing, and when Fran agreed to introduce her bill, she accepted the movement's policy, and she stuck to that policy. I don't know whether Fran's here still, but she stuck to that policy and those objectives, and she took risks on our behalf, and she got a shitty time. She got, a lot of hate mail and a lot of personal attacks. So she stuck with it, though, and in the end, she could have got it through at 18. There was support in Parliament for that, but she didn't go down that track. Other MPs may have, but she stuck with supporting our policy. And so we got to the point where it was a winner-takes-all. It was either going to be 16 or it was going to be nothing. And Parliament was forced to go for 16, although a number of people who voted for it might have liked to have voted higher than that. As Bill said, if we didn't get 16, it would have put a lot of pressure on vulnerable young men. But the other thing was, if we hadn't got 16, because it essentially cleared the decks of the issue, full stop, it would have still been on the books. So if it was 18, we would have had to try and get it down to 16, and it would have delayed other legislation, and possibly the Human Rights Act of 1993 might have been delayed. So you know, it's actually given us a head start in progress. So finally, I'd just like to say one big thank you to Fran. I'm not sure whether she's here still, but she really stuck by us, and she deserves our thanks. So whether she's here or not, let's give her a hand.
Thank you very much, Gavin. Well done, buddy. You're awesome. Our next speaker has been a lesbian. Oh, that was a bad pause. She's been a lesbian activist. And also a lesbian since the 1970s. Old school, they say. She attended also, this is her CV that she gave us, and one of her claims to fame was that she attended the first Top Twins concert in Wellington. She was also active in the campaign for homosexual law reform and anti-discrimination legislation and worked on the lesbian radio program for many years. She is currently a voluntary curator and trustee for Kawe Mahara Queer Archives Aotearoa, formerly the Lesbian and Gay Archives. Could you please welcome to the stage the one and only lesbian activist, Linda Evans.
Kia ora koutou. Now seems like another of those political times when we need all of our resources and experience to stand up to what is happening to many communities in Aotearoa. The bill has mentioned specifically anti-trans legislation, but does affect others as well. But also when I think of all of the things that are proposed for people who are unemployed, people who are homeless, beneficiaries of various kinds, low-paid women workers, there's just so many areas where there are LGBTQ people are in those and they are part of our communities. And I think we have to remember that whole broad setting and remember the whole ideas and lessons of the liberation movements of the 1970s that actually wanted to change the world. For those of us who are tau iwi, upholding te tiriti is vital for all of us, as well as acting in solidarity with all takatāpui. And it's important to affirm the diversity of our communities by addressing racism and sexism. When we lost the anti-discrimination part of the bill, which was a great disappointment to lesbians, as well as to the rest of the campaign, because it was important for the work around AIDS education to get that anti-discrimination legislation. But when we lost it, and working towards the 1993 Human Rights Amendment, activists worked for the outlawing of discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation together with activists from other groups that were excluded from protection in the Act, and in particular on the basis of disabilities and of age. And I think it's just important to remember and keep those coalitions alive. We need to make sure the perspective and needs of LGBTIQ people with disabilities and the needs of our older and younger lesbian and gay, bisexual, trans, intersex and queer communities are priorities for action now. I want to acknowledge and appreciate all of the activists I worked with throughout the long processes of law reform, and particularly during 85-86. Acknowledge all of those who are here, but there are some who couldn't be here, but also thinking of the many who have died since the legislation was passed. There are three lesbians that I worked with very closely, and I would just like to mention them. Tiggy Instone was a committed organiser for lesbians and for the coalition in support of the bill. She was planning on coming tonight, but was unable to attend in the end. So I'm sure she'd be very sorry not to be here, and send her greetings to all of you. She was a notable presence at so many points in the campaign in one or other of her different persona, which she enjoyed inhabiting, as well as being a very good organiser. The second is Pauline Simmons, who died over 10 years ago now. She was one of the founders of the first lesbian organisation in Wellington and the Lesbian Club. She was committed to... She was committed to law reform from the beginning of her political involvement, and particularly committed to an equal age of consent. Alison Laurie, who died 2 years ago, was a lesbian activist from the 60s, both here and overseas. And she made a massive contribution to the success of law reform. The hard work of activism is often talked about as, you know, hard work and difficult and tiring and all that, but there's not so much said about the friendship and the pleasures of activism. But I'm sure those of you who are activists now are finding that. It's quite amazing working with other people, what you can achieve, getting to know people you might not have come across in any, you know, if you weren't doing activism. So I recommend it as a great thing to do with your life. One of the rallying cries from the 85-86 campaign is still as important as ever, and that is, be as out as you can and be as blatant as you can. So, manawatia a matariki.
Thanks, Linda. Awesome. Our next speaker for the evening here is well known in Auckland. Was the coordinator of the Auckland Gay Task Force during the law reform campaign, having previously had leading roles for some years in the LGBT groups in Auckland, and was principal spokesperson for the campaign in the Auckland area. He subsequently moved to Melbourne, then Sydney, then New York, and then back to Sydney. He's been everywhere, man. And now resides back in Sydney. Can you please welcome the coordinator of the Auckland Gay Task Force, Peter Wall.
Kia ora. It's been great to catch up with old friends from the old days of the campaign. We're all looking somewhat old in our course, and age brings both benefits and drawbacks. We don't need to dwell on the drawbacks too much. For example, I didn't need glasses back then. But one of the clear advantages of age is the perspective it allows us to bring to the re-examination of the events of earlier times. And in my case as well, living in many different countries also helps in placing our reforms in a wider context. And here I must stress, when I talk about international context, we're talking about the situation in the group of nations of which New Zealand is part, countries with a tradition of parliamentary democracy, human rights, free speech, and the rule of law. I realise that outside that group, there are many countries with serious human rights problems, but within the group, and it is a very influential group, the situation is one of significant, if not unequivocal, improvement. Homosexual law reform in New Zealand did not happen in a vacuum. The UK had implemented a limited form of liberalisation in 1967. The state of South Australia decriminalised male homosexual acts in 1975, and Victoria did the same in 1980. While I don't think anyone would describe society's attitudes in the early 1980s as being particularly enlightened, there was clearly a growing sense that gay men did not deserve to be treated as criminals, and the wider LGBTQ plus community did not deserve the ill treatment to which we were frequently subjected. But this does not mean, though, that law reform in the 1980s was inevitable. There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. It always helps if you quote Shakespeare. We needed to catch the wave, and here I must commend the entire team that worked so tirelessly to bring this campaign to a successful conclusion. the parliamentary team, the incomparable Fran Wild, Trevor, Helen, Judy, and others. By the way, while we're talking about Trevor, I rocked up to Trevor in a meeting in New York, organised by the New Zealand consulate. I said, "Hey, good day, Trev." And he had not a clue who I was. And that's when I discovered that we meet half a dozen politicians and we get to know them. They meet thousands of us and they forget most of us. So just a warning. But also the disparate collection of groups and individuals who made whatever difference, set aside whatever difference of approach they had and worked together tirelessly towards a shared goal. And by the way, Fran, I don't know whether she's still here, but the two law drafters that she was struggling to remember, Don McMorland and Alan Ivory, who can't be here tonight. But we were part of a broader social movement, a set of social movements, women's rights, anti-apartheid activism, Maori Renaissance and others, and together we changed New Zealand permanently. For many of us, progress over the past 40 years has been a one-way street. Our lives are better and there is no going back. There is no doubt that queer and gender diverse people are now able to take part openly in society in ways that were once unimaginable. But that progress is far from complete and there are troubling signs of attempts at reversal of some of the advances we have so far gained. Now look, here I want to make a brief digression into wider political situation that the world now finds itself in. Bear with me, I'll get to the point. In the US, as in many other countries, massive wealth disparities have opened up between those who are succeeding in the current economic climate and those left behind. Manufacturing jobs have been exported to low-wage countries, mines have been closed in West Virginia and the north of England, and agriculture is being squeezed between higher input costs and lower prices paid by supermarkets. The people who once worked in these industries are angry, and their anger is directed at those they identify as the elites. So why am I taking up your time with this? Because the Conservatives are able to present trans rights as an issue only of interest to the elites. They know they would have difficulty attacking the mainstream of gay and lesbian rights, but they think they may be able to pick off the low-hanging fruit, pun intended. The Conservatives are trying to make the case that they are concerned about the plight of the economically disadvantaged, while the elites are talking about trans women's participation in sport, about puberty blockers, and about pronouns. This is utterly dishonest because their economic policies serve only to deepen the wealth divide that I was speaking about, while the social policies further inflame the anti-elite passions. Our successes in homosexual law reform and same-sex marriage have, in a sense, left the trans community even more exposed. While we are being accepted, somewhat reluctantly, into the mainstream, trans people are now seen as the easier target for a conservative eager to capitalize on any resentments and divisions in society. We're going to need to develop strategies to fight for trans sisters and brothers and not allow the conservatives to use them as a diversion from their obvious failings in economic policy. We must point out that the progressives are able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We can join in debates on economics and treat people with dignity and humanity in their everyday lives. And we need to take up this fight, not only because, as Fran used to always say about homosexual law reform, because it's the right thing to do, but also because we know whom the Conservatives are going to come after if they succeed with this campaign. But now, just like most news bulletins, I'm going to end with sport. To all the gay men in the audience, are there any gay men? No. If you've never seen a game of Australian rules football, do yourselves a favour, try and find a game somewhere on the internet. You'll know, if you've seen, you'll know what I mean. Last week I attended the annual Pride game with the Sydney Swans taking on the Western Bulldogs. Now, this is official AFL merchandise. They officially sell Pride branded for a sport which is played by Buffy blokes. That's not too bad. The entire ground at that game, for the Pride game, was lit up with rainbow colours, and the teams ran out onto the pitch together through a banner in the form of a rainbow flag with the words, "Everyone is welcome." In a recent incident, the entire AFL community, including players, past players and sports journalists, united to condemn a player who was found to have made on-field homophobic remarks. So it is a unanimous attitude that they are keen to support their diverse communities, and they're keen to be supporting us. Now, I know I'm talking about Australia here, not New Zealand, but I think it tells the story about the progress that made by the wider family of democratic countries that I was talking about earlier. Homophobia is almost and always utterly condemned at a public level, and that must inevitably have the effect of removing such expressions of hate and hostility from the public arena. Homosexual law reform was a massive step in that progress, and human rights changes and marriage equality bill, where are you, cuz? Good on you. They built on that, and we can all be happy that future generations will take our work for granted and build on it for the next steps forward. Tena koutou.
Peter Wall, everybody. Let's hear it for him once again. The amazing Peter Wall. Nice work. We love it. Beautiful people, I know it's getting a bit on. We're sitting on the floor, but we're almost there, I promise you. It's hard to fit in 40 years of fabulousness. And how many times do you get to come to Parliament to actually celebrate the rainbow? Exactly. So we've got a few more speakers to go, but right now, we're going to welcome back the fantasy colourful and the wonderfully talented, please give it up for Te Whanawhana.
Kia ora no tātou. We have two waiata to share with you. One of them you will know very, very well, and the other one we'd like you to know very, very well. And Te Whanawhana is a kaupapa organisation, and I mentioned Kevin Honui as the composer of the waiata that we used to support the opening. Kevin has been quite prolific over the years in writing waiata, and often those waiata have been connected with the political and community and social occasions that we've been presented with. And there was a certain so-called minister of a church that led some black-shirted people down Lambton Quay, spewing hate and vile words in the direction of us. And some of us stood and challenged him and waved at him, and people wrote letters and people complained. Kevin wrote another waiata. And so this is the waiata that he wrote in response to that so-called minister of the church. And this is called Scored He Takatapui Noa Ho. Hopefully the words are coming up and you can follow them. And we've got the words up there in English and in Māori, so you can understand in either language what we are sharing with you.
Ah, Sarvakara Ara. Erudo Ambaro Hidoe. Etidae Daka, Etidae Daka, Chaufeta Feta. Eparitu. He pari tu, ta ranga ranga, he pu na roi mata, he pu na roi mata, ho honu lawa. He manu, ti ori ori. Paradau kawa, he pari au kawa, no tia tia. Kauru mai, he ani wani wa tu na marama. Kaua, he whakarea. He takata pui noa. Kaua e whakarea, e takata pui noa. Kaua e whakarea, e takata pui noa.
Go my, he ani wani wa tu na marama. Kaua e whakarea, he takata pui noa. Kaua e whakarea. Tirohia mai au, e moru tangatai putu mai rangi atia. Tirohia mai au, e moru tangatai putu mai rangi atia. Whakamaua kia tina, 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 home year, we year, dying year. We haven't really got a fold-back system here. I think I heard some of you singing. Hands up if you were singing. Yeah, I thought I could hear some of you singing. So we've got an opportunity for you to further develop your singing skills, because our closing waiata is one that many, many of you will know. And this one wasn't written by Kevin Honui. This was written by Hirini Melbourne. Yes, what a prolific, fabulous writer. And so pūria nei e te hau. And it's really about our celebration, cleansing and connection with the elements around us. So, let's go for it. Mākere ana ngāhere, pūre anai, pūre anai.
Makere, Makere Anna.
Beautiful people, once again, please give it up for the fabulously colourful Te Whanawhana. Nice work, team. We are almost there, everybody. Are we still enjoying ourselves tonight?
Yeah.
Are we feeling the vibe tonight?
Yeah.
Are we feeling love tonight?
Yeah.
Fabulous. If no one said yes, why? What's going on over here? All right, we've got a couple more guest speakers, just to make sure we're still feeling good. Are you ready? Fabulous. Please welcome to the stage, she's the Disability Rights Commissioner and Rainbow Rights Spokesperson for the Human Rights Commission. Please welcome Prudence Walker. Prudence Walker, everybody.
Tēnā koutou katoa, kua kai hautū te kahauatanga me te kāhu e te katangata ahau. Kau Prudence Walker toko ingawa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou katoa. I want to acknowledge all of those who have come before me, those who are in the room, those who are here in spirit, and those whose spirits live on. I'm honoured to be in the room with you all tonight and give thanks to Richard Tankersley and Warren Lindbergh, both previous Human Rights Commissioners. I also want to acknowledge Chief Human Rights Commissioner Dr. Stephen Rainbow and members of the Human Rights Commission staff team that are here with us tonight. The Homosexual Law Reform Act, passed 40 years ago, was a watershed moment in Aotearoa New Zealand's human rights history. It ended the real threat of prosecution and imprisonment for gay men and opened the door to the equality protections that followed, such as adding sexual orientation to the prohibited grounds of discrimination in the Human Rights Act 1993, civil unions in 2004, and marriage equality in 2013. It's a chance to celebrate social progress in Aotearoa, New Zealand, while also acknowledging that some rainbow people don't yet enjoy the freedoms that that generation fought to achieve. Human rights protections must be continually upheld, defended and strengthened so that every person in Aotearoa, New Zealand can live a life of dignity, safety and with the freedom to live as their authentic self and experience a genuine sense of belonging. The 40th anniversary is a time for celebration, but also reflection, particularly as it coincides with Matariki. On Tuesday, at Government House, people were mingling and a gentleman came up and introduced himself to me. And as I was reading his name tag, my thoughts were ticking over because the day before, I had read in my office a letter in 1979, dated 1979, from the National Gay Rights Coalition. That person who I met at Government House was Jeff Simpson, who was the secretary of the National Gay Rights Coalition at the time. And while the commission supported decriminalising sex between men and strengthening anti-discrimination in the Human Rights Act in 1985. In 1979, that letter that Jeff had signed was a request from the National Gay Rights Coalition seeking the Commission's support of recognition that discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation was a human rights issue. The Commission did not support those requests at the time. When people came to us seeking recognition, protection and advocacy, we did not provide the leadership that they were entitled to expect from New Zealand's National Human Rights Institution. We acknowledge the people who experienced discrimination, stigma, fear and exclusion during this period, and the advocates who continued to fight for equality despite those barriers. We fell short of our purpose of protecting and promoting the human rights and dignity of all people in Aotearoa New Zealand. As our understanding of human rights has evolved, so too has the organisation now known as Te Kahu e Tika Tangata, the Human Rights Commission. Our new podcast series, Rights and Realities, Remembering 1986, looks back at the events leading up to law reform, its impact and the challenges that still lie ahead for Rainbow people. Contributors include Takatāpui scholar and artist Professor Elizabeth Kerekere, activist Linda Evans and Gavin Young, Dame Fran Wild and more. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Released today. The progress made for Rainbow communities over recent decades should not be taken for granted. Today, Rainbow groups such as trans, non-binary, intersex, MVP, FAF+, and Takatāpui people are experiencing a regression in access to their full human rights as a result of proposed and enacted legislative changes. These are contributing to harmful public discourse and threatening the safety of these groups. We recognise the diversity of all Rainbow people and acknowledge that experiences of discrimination and exclusion are often compounded by culture, ethnicity, disability, gender, and other intersecting identities. As we mark 40 years since homosexual law reform, we honour those who fought for change, reflect on our own history, and recommit ourselves to ensuring that all people are treated with dignity, fairness, and respect.
Big hand for Prue. Nice wheels. Thank you so much. The diversity in the room is awesome tonight. Our next speaker is the former chair of Intersex Aotearoa. She is an intersex Māori advocate, social justice warrior, survivor of abuse in state care, and change maker whose work has championed equality, human rights and dignity for Rainbow, intersex, Māori and survivor communities across Aotearoa, Oceania, Asia, Australasia and Europe. Can you please welcome the wonderful, the warrior, Tu Chapman.
Bear with me, I've got notes. Tēnā koutou. Before I begin, I want to sincerely thank Dame Linda Top for the introduction. What an honour. Dame Linda, thank you for everything you have done over so many years to bring joy, courage and visibility to our Rainbow communities. I'm humbled to be in your presence and to be reminded of the legacy you and your sister, Dame Jules, have left for us all in the many generations to come. Ka nui te aroha ki a koe. Thank you also to everyone that has made tonight possible. Craig, you and your team, I take my hat off. I have my critique, but I'll save that for later. And to each and every one of you for being here, tēnā koutou katoa. Hey, the last time I stood on this stage was 2 years ago, where I told the PM to put his money where his mouth is. Yeah. I'm pleased that he's not here tonight, because I might have had the thought to say to him, please tell your government they are as useless as two tits on a ball. Yeah. It's an absolute privilege to stand before you as an intersex Māori, a survivor, an advocate, and someone whose life has been shaped by the courage of those who came before me. Tonight we celebrate 40 years since homosexual law reform. 40 years. Kia ora. For some, that feels like yesterday. For others, it's ancient history. And if you've spent any time on social media lately, you'll know there are plenty of people who think we should all just get over it. Get over what, may I ask? If only equality worked like that. The reality is that none of us are here because history naturally bent towards justice. We are here because ordinary people did extraordinary things. They challenged prejudice. They risked careers, families, friendships, safety, and for some, their lives. So that generations like ours could live more freely than they did. That deserves far more than our applause. It deserves our gratitude. Every right we enjoy today exists because somebody before us refused to accept discrimination as normal. Tonight is our chance to honour them, but tonight is also significant for another reason. While we celebrate 40 years of homosexual law reform, this year also marks 30 years of organised intersex advocacy in Aotearoa. Yeah. For three decades, intersex people have fought to be recognised, not as problems to be solved, not as medical conditions to be hidden, not as political talking points, but as human beings, deserving of dignity, bodily autonomy and respect. And that story, yes, Rakanuia Kātika, and that story cannot be told without acknowledging one extraordinary person tonight, Marnie Mitchell. When most people had never even heard the word intersex, Marnie was already educating communities, challenging medical systems, advocating for human rights, and opening doors that many of us now walk through. That work wasn't glamorous, it wasn't well-funded, it certainly wasn't popular, but Marnie kept showing up. Because sometimes real leadership isn't about standing in the spotlight, it's about making sure someone else eventually can. As someone who has had the privilege of following in those footsteps, I want to say personally, thank you, Marnie. Your courage has changed lives. Would you please all join me in acknowledging Marnie Mitchell and celebrating 30 years of intersex advocacy. The beautiful thing about our rainbow communities is that every generation inherits the courage of the one before it. The activists of the 1980s handed something to us. The intersex advocates of the 1990s handed something to us. Now it is our turn to decide what we hand to those who come after us. Hopefully, slightly fewer Facebook arguments. Although judging by the comment sections lately, I'm not making any promises. But I also want to take this opportunity to say something that sits heavily with me. While we gather tonight celebrating 40 years of love, courage and progress, we cannot ignore what is happening around us right now. We are once again debating whether people's identity should be legislated through the definitions of Woman and Man Amendment Bill. We are hearing calls to revisit protections against conversion practices as though trauma somehow becomes acceptable with the passing of time. While we are watching inclusive language quietly disappear from our policies, our schools, our public institutions, and even our everyday conversations, sending subtle but powerful messages about who belongs and who doesn't. Some people ask us, why are we still fighting? The answer is simple, because equality is never something you win once. It is something every generation is called upon to defend. 40 years ago, politicians debated whether gay people deserved equality under the law. 30 years ago, intersex advocates had to convince people that we even existed. Today, many of us find ourselves having to justify our humanity. That should concern every single person in this room, because history teaches us something. Rights are really taken away overnight. They are chipped away, one bill, one policy, one speech, one headline, one compromise at a time. That is why tonight matters. Not because we simply celebrate how far we have come, but because we remind ourselves that it took what it took to get here and what it will take to protect it. Young people are watching us. Young takatāpui are watching us. Young intersex people are watching us. They are watching whether we show up, whether we make space for everyone, whether we understand that there is no hierarchy in belonging. No letter in our rainbow whānau matters more than another, because our liberation has always been connected. When one part of our community is attacked, diminished or erased, every one of us loses something. When one part of our community rises, we all rise. So if there's one thing I hope we leave with tonight, it is this. Don't mistake celebration for completion. The work is not finished. Not while any member of our rainbow whānau is treated as less deserving of dignity. Not while intersex children can still undergo unnecessary medical interventions without their consent. Not while trans, takatāpui, rainbow and intersex communities continue to become political footballs. And not while fear is allowed to speak louder than love. Tonight, let us celebrate. Let us honour those who marched when it wasn't possible. Let us honour those who marched when it wasn't popular, those who spoke when it wasn't safe, those who loved when the law told them they shouldn't, those who survived, and those who are no longer here to celebrate with us. Their courage lives on in every single one of us. History is not something we inherit. It is something we continue to write. So let's keep standing together, because love didn't win just 40 years ago. Love wins every single time. Ordinary people choose courage over fear. Happy 40 years of homosexual law reform, Dame Fran Wild and all that were involved 40 years ago. Happy 30 years of intersex advocacy, Marnie Mitchell. May we never stop fighting for a future where every person can live openly, safely, proudly and authentically. Ngā mihi nui kia koutou katoa.
Yes, the one and only Two Chapman, everybody. Right, my newfound friends of the rainbow, we are almost there, I promise you, we are almost there. We have one more guest speaker, this is how it's going to work. We've got one more guest speaker, then we've got thank yous, then we've got a performance by the Glamophones, and also the one and only legendary Buckwheat is here tonight. And then we're going to partake in the party with DJs Vinyl and Proud. Boom, shaka, laka. Right, one more guest speaker. Here we go. Our final guest speaker tonight is the Chief Executive of Inside Out, Ka Kōaro, a national organisation working towards the vision of an Aotearoa New Zealand where all takatāpui and rainbow young people are free to thrive. She is the board member of Global Women, served as chair of the Outer Spaces Trust, and is a founding member of the Rainbow Violence Prevention Network. Please give it up for the fabulous Judy O'Brien! Judy O'Brien!
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, people of every shape, size and sexual orientation, gender identity, iwi, culture, postcode and tax code. Malolele, talofalava, tēnā koutou katoa. Tonight Craig asked me to speak to the future of queer activism. And at Inside Out, we're in the business of future building. Every day we work with schools, communities and professionals to help create an Aotearoa where takatāpui and rainbow rangatahi can thrive. We strive to be good ancestors, to thrive inside and out, to create a vibrant national presence that amplifies the voices of young leaders and channel community wisdom to equip adults with the tools that they need to meet the needs of young people, to grow a generation of confident, capable, connected rainbow leaders. I'd like to acknowledge our founder, Tabby Besley, who built Inside Out as a 19-year-old with a dream. Yes. I'd also like to acknowledge our team here tonight, Val, Red, and June, who make magic happen every day. Forty years ago, I was one of those twinkles Matua spoke of earlier. So, while I cannot claim to remember the debate, I was very busy being created. My whole life has been shaped by what happened in this place. Before I knew I was queer, before I knew I was trans, before I knew I would stand here one day, legally female, legally married, and legally entitled to an amicable divorce should the need ever arise again. I met my first husband at the 20th anniversary. You can laugh, it's okay. 40 years ago, this country had a choice, and that choice was never just about sex. And our opponents knew that. That's why they fought so hard. They called homosexual law reform the thin end of the wedge. They warned that if it passed, society would change. Decriminalizing sex between men would inevitably lead to gay bars, same-sex marriage, and adoption rights. And I have to say, they were right. Not about the moral collapse, obviously. We have excellent catering, we have a reasonably functioning democracy, and I haven't seen a single one of the three horsemen of the apocalypse tonight. They weren't invited. But the detractors at the time were right, that law reform would be the beginning of something bigger, that the thin end of the wedge was never just about consenting adults doing what they love. It was about whether queer people could exist in public, whether we could love without fear, dance without shame, hold hands, raise families, be gainfully employed, become MPs, grow old, become the sort of people our younger selves desperately needed to see. Well, look around in this room tonight. Look at this glittering conflagration of activists and allies, heroes and sheroes, non-binary finery, iconic legends. Does this look like the thick end of the wedge to you? The thick end of the wedge is not about rainbow people being allowed into Parliament for one night, one beautiful night. The thick end is when we do not need the wedge anymore. It's when the door has not just been wedged open, but when we've taken the bloody door off its hinges and stopped asking who's allowed through and knocked down the fucking wall. That is the future of rainbow advocacy in Aotearoa. No begging for tolerance. No being grateful for conditional acceptance. No squeezing ourselves through institutions built without us in mind and calling that inclusion. The future is possibility. It is a transgender child in Canterbury who was excluded from school sport last week, knowing that they can play sport with their friends, stay fit, and grow old. It is takatāpui rangatahi, seeing their whakapapa and their identity held together, not pulled apart. It is the 5,000 rainbow students who stayed home from school last year because of bullying, and the 40% of rainbow rangatahi who considered ending their own lives, going to school next week more worried about their maths homework than whether they will be safe at lunchtime. It is healthcare that treats intersex bodies, intersex people with dignity. It is rainbow families and teachers celebrated in schools as leaders, never having to worry about being labelled as groomers. And it is community organisations funded to build sustainable futures, to nourish today's young leaders and channel community wisdom. And it is joy. It is unbridled joy. The sweaty dance floor at the Kiki Ball kind of joy. The loud kind. The we survived and we are fucking fabulous and still here and not going anywhere kind. So tonight we honour the people who carried us here. Those of you who marched, organised, spoke publicly, lost friends, lost family, lost safety and still chose courage. You gave us an instruction. Make the world freer than we found it. That is our work now. There are still people trying to make our rangatahi feel small. Still dressing prejudice as piety and concern. Asking whether some of us have gone too far when all we have done is exist too visibly for their comfort. 40 years ago, they called us the thin end of the wedge. And here we are, thicker. So, let the legacy we inherited become the legacy we create. Let it be said of us that we did not mistake progress for permanence, that when the door opened, we held it, pushed it, brought the lesbians in their tool belts and the bisexuals in their spreadsheets. We appreciate the spreadsheets. And when the time came, we did not simply ask who was allowed through. We mobilized, unified, bashed the door in and knocked down the wall. And for those who will stand here 40 years from now, older, younger, Maori, Pacifica, Asian, Pākehā, disabled, intersex, trans, non-binary, bisexual, lesbian, gay, queer, takatāpui, mahu, vakasalewalewa, palopa, whakawhiwhine, whaaawhine, akawiine, cyborg. Questioning, certain, and glittering. Hopefully they'll look back and say, thank God they did not stop at the thin end of the wedge.
Beautiful people, please give it up for the one and only, Judy O'Brien. Nice work. Well, my newfound friends of the rainbow awesomeness, it is almost time for us to wrap up the formalities. This is a first call. Can the glamophones please come to the stage? We're going to get you prepared. Before we do that though, this is how it's going to work. We've got the glamophones performing. Very shortly we're going to do a moment of silence. We're also going to have our DJs play. Buckwheat is going to perform. We do have to be out of here within an hour, but you know what? How often do you get to come to Parliament to actually celebrate the rainbow? I mean, hello. Before we do that though, please once again give it up for Judy O'Brien.
Thanks very much, folks. If you'd like to all come forward a little. Come forward. And I'd ask you all to stand while we take a moment to acknowledge all the people that we have lost over the last few years. My sister, we lost only 15 days ago, and I will always, always understand that we must acknowledge those who have gone before us and acknowledge them when they pass away. So please bow your heads in silence for all the wonderful, amazing people that could not be here with us
they're here in our hearts. Thank you so much. Let the party begin.
Now, before we get into the gramophones, this is our opportunity to say goodnight, farewell, haerera, mātua. And I just want to say, as a little 12-year-old kid with my little bowl cut, my man boobs, Harry Potter glasses and my braces, this human being here and her sister were my heroes at school. And what a true, true honour and privilege to stand here tonight to celebrate 40 years, to celebrate the fight with you and your friends who did that for little kids like me, to be able to grow up, to be me authentically without prejudice. A true honour to be part of your presence, Dame Linda Topp, everybody.
And let's give it up for the man in the rainbow suit, the wild, the crazy, the man with the man boobs that you can't see.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Solid.
The amazing Luke Bird.
Now, if you loved my performance tonight, my name is Luke Bird. If you hated it, my name is Simon Dello. Beautiful people, please give it up for the Wellington, beautiful Wellington Rainbow Choir, Community Choir, the Gramophones!